The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
From beautiful Burbank, California, the Knapsack File Studios are located in this beautiful suburb of the greater Los Angeles area. This is the Knapsack Files. I'm Ken Knapsack, and wow, this guest we got here tonight has literally been holding me hostage to get him on the show. And I swear on my life, it was a scheduling issue. We live in two different parts of the city. It wasn't personal, but I think at the end of the day, maybe it was. And we're going to work through that here today. It is Billy Business, Billy Patterson.
Scheduling issue being I wasn't invited. That is the scheduling issue.
My scheduling issue.
Yes.
Well, it was at one point you just blatantly accused Josh McCuga and I of blacklisting you from every one of the podcasts we had.
You had Screen Junkies people on multiple times. Like, you had, and I love the boy, you had Ryan Elliott on, I think, twice.
The quiet camera guy.
Yeah.
Handsome.
I don't understand. You know what? I have to beg and scratch and crawl.
Well, look, and then it happened. You're here right now. You're here. We're in the studio. So what do you want to talk about?
It's Monday night. It's Monday night. I'm open for anything.
We are recording on a Monday night here. And Billy, you, sir, came into my life. I think we met before we knew each other, probably in passing at a Wizard World.
Yes.
How long have you been working the convention circuit? How did you get to that point? Because that's an interesting point. It's a big business now, but how did you land in that world?
This was very strange. I was working at TV Guide, the network, not the magazine, which is now Pop.
Yes.
Which, if you're a wrestling fan, Impact Wrestling, and or Days of Our Lives, if you're not a wrestling fan.
And by the way, I'm sure, folks, wrestling's going to come up a couple times here.
It will. Yeah. Trigger warning.
Yeah.
So CBS bought TV Guide, and they were like, "Wow, we're so excited." And then I was let go the next day.
Those transitions of power.
So I was looking for a job, and I have a friend named Damian Buehrer who...
No Damian in passing at parties.
Yeah.
Tall, strapping gentleman.
Damian is one of those guys where it doesn't matter who I run into, he's worked with them somehow in his life.
Right.
You probably have met him.
I've met him. I've never, because when
anyone
he did the superpower beatdown, listening, you've probably met him. Yeah.
So he was like, "Hey, Wizard World's hiring." He told a mutual friend of ours, "Do you know anyone?" And our mutual friend Chase was like, "Yeah, this guy I know is looking for work." So Chase told me, I submitted my resume. Got looked at. Yep. Nothing.
Nothing.
Just in the trash can. And so about a month went by. I was like, that sucks, because probably could have been fun. And then I was like, you know what? I have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
It is 10 p.m. on a Tuesday night. I'm just going to make a video essay of why they should choose me. A month after I applied.
Right.
Yeah. That unemployment clock is just getting
I know that
more,
clock well.
Yeah. I thought it was months. It's a dollar amount.
Yes.
So like once it's out.
Oh, just, I know.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been watching it tick, tick, tick away, and now it's gone.
So I was like, what could I do? I'm just going to be silly. And this is either the best idea or the worst idea I've ever had. I put on a Batman cowl and I was like, this is Bat Nerd, and Bat Nerd is going to tell you why I should work for Wizard World. So dumb. Finished it at 4 a.m, sent it to Damian. Woke up later in the afternoon, was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done. How embarrassing. Oh, well, I never...
Yeah, well, that'll be...
Get a call the next day at around 1 from the CEO of Wizard World, John Macaluso, at the time.
Yeah.
And he's like, is this Bat Nerd? Yeah. Is it Bat Nerd? Best video I've ever seen. I sent it to the board of directors at Wizard World and come in for an interview. Went for the interview. I didn't do so hot in the interview.
Should you have worn the bat cowl?
I probably.
Were you that bad, or did just the people in the room, where they're like, oh, he's not bat? No.
I think it was because it was for a social media job. And at the time I was like, I have a Twitter. I could probably do this.
Tweet.
Yeah. So they were asking me all these questions, and I was like trying to fake it till you make it, but it's very obvious. I was like, growth and growth economics and demographics.
Peak post times.
Are you impressed with my impressions?
Yeah.
So I was just bombing it, and John walks in the room. And he's like, how are you doing? I was like, pretty good. He's like, Patrick, give him his starting papers. Hire him. And so I could tell that that he didn't want to hire me, but because John was like, do it.
Yeah.
I started the next week.
That is a powerful lesson in how to get a job or maybe never to be asked back into any room. But I think that's actually pretty impressive. I would not do that.
It's funny. I wouldn't do it now.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Right. Really? And you've done it. I mean, you didn't have to do it to get hired at Screen Junkies.
No, that was just right place, right time, mm-hmm. right person. The typical Hollywood, like, I knew somebody.
Right.
But this was like, I was proud of it in the sense that it was like, I took the biggest swing.
Yeah.
And I didn't, I had Damien there, but he didn't have any power or anything. Yeah. He just got it, the video, but I was like, man, I'm just going to do it. What's just the worst that could happen?
What's nothing? Yeah, that's a great, powerful lesson. And you just had you done anything like that before?
Nope.
Where?
I don't know where that
came from.
I have no idea where that spark of it wasn't alcohol. It wasn't even desperation. It just was like sometimes just an idea pops in your head. But every I want to say 3 or 4 months for the 3 years that I worked at Wizard World, I'd hear John cackling in his office and over the PA he'd be like, "Everyone, come here." And he would pull that video up and he would show he showed Michael Rooker, he showed Bruce Campbell, he showed Lou Ferrigno. Like anytime a celebrity would come in, he'd be like, "You have to see Batnerd."
Sitting there like staring at like, okay.
My tenure at Wizard World was me being embarrassed in front of celebrities. It was not even just that. There's tons of stories where John just loved, delighted in embarrassing me in front of my childhood heroes.
Well, that is interesting. You mentioned childhood heroes. Where did you grow up? Where did you apply your youthful trade?
Fresno, California. Central Valley.
Yeah. You're the first person I've talked to that was raised in Fresno. Been through it many times. A family trip in about 82 or 83, our Volkswagen van broke down. And we spent 5 days in Fresno. It's like a bad movie.
Five days in Fresno. If you've ever driven to San Francisco or Yosemite or Sacramento.
Yosemite was our spot.
Yeah. You've passed through Fresno. Great place to grow up. Didn't think so at the time in hindsight. Beautiful childhood. Everyone has, or not everyone, but I feel like a lot of people have like conflicts with their childhood. I'm like, man, mine was the best.
Oh, yeah. Mine was small town America good. Like, I'm so fortunate. Yeah. You know, all the problems came from my brain, which is silly because I looked around. I should have been more like, yeah, things are all right.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by the sense of we're in this big city making nerd stuff here, sure. You and I there, but it was a different time. You were in the same age group, roughly. My beard's a little more gray than you, thankfully for you. At what point did this stuff, the pop culture stuff, kick in? Were you a sports guy? You're a wrestling guy? Was that always the case out there? How'd you grow up on the mean streets of Fresno?
I knew I wanted to do something either making movies or adjacent to movies when I was 3 years old. I was too young to know what was happening.
Right.
But it was Tim Burton's Batman. It was the summer of Batmania.
Right.
And I was like, what is this thing? I'm seeing it on my TV and I'm seeing posters. I'm like, what's this thing? What is all of this? And it's my mom who kind of picked up, and I remember I was just a kid. I was like, I wanna make stuff like that. Like I like Batman. And I can put him on the TV. I can make things and put it on the TV. So my mom fostered my love of, man, I had so many phases. I had my Kiss phase, and not just phases that like came and went.
Layerings.
Right.
Layerings.
And God bless my mom. She was on board every time. And she was like, how can I nurture this? And I feel like if she had shut it down, I maybe would have done something different with my life or been like, okay, time to grow up. But she was like, no, this is you, and let's go to a Kiss concert. Let's go to the opening of Phantom Menace. Let's go. My mom took me to my very first WWF show.
Okay.
At the time.
WWF at the time.
She sat with me, waited. This is when you had to wait for tickets. You could buy Fandango for Phantom Menace, and we went at midnight. She pulled me out of school.
You. Yeah.
She took me to my first Kiss concert.
What year was Kiss?
I think this was when they just put the makeup back on again.
96 reunion?
Like 97, 98.
Because I went to Irvine Amphitheater in 1996 for the reunion tour.
Yeah, the Weenie Roast.
It was just at its own concert. It wasn't a K-Rock Weenie Roast. Poe opened up for him. She was great, one of my favorite artists. Yeah, I went as Peter Criss. So we got that, buddy.
That's the only one that I've never gone to a concert as.
you even went as Eric Carr as the Fox.
Vinny Vincent. The Warrior or whatever it is. Yeah. No one. Vinny doesn't know what it is.
Yeah. How did Kiss come in?
Kiss came in. My parents weren't really into it.
God bless your mother even more.
Oh yeah, I think my mom, because I used to be that kid that had just like action figures like thumbtacked to the wall, you know, like in the boxes. And after a while, my mom would just, if she saw one that just looked cool, like thought I just liked the aesthetics, and she bought me one year a Gene Simmons and a Paul Stanley, and it was those figures from the Dynasty album where it was like the big theatrical gaudy armor and capes. Yeah. She probably thought it was like a superhero or something. And I had them tacked to my wall. Yeah. I had them tacked to my wall and I completely 100% legally downloaded their entire discography off of Napster. Sorry, Gene. And I kind of found it on my own and then
organically. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And I just was like, I know some of these songs. I guess I just didn't put two and two together.
Right.
You know, Rock and Roll a Night and Beth and all that.
I mean,
that.
I wouldn't be, you know, Knights in Satan's Service. I wouldn't be allowed as a kid. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Very Detroit Rock City.
Detroit Rock City. I found it around that time and I knew of them, you know, that type of thing. But yeah, same thing. But yeah, so that's interesting. I love too when things, pop culture things, just find, they seem to find every generation organically. Star Wars in a lot of cases. Yeah, parents will pass it down. But a lot of times it's a kid seeing something in the store at five. What's a Jar Jar? I want to see a Jar Jar Binks. Like, it just happens generation after generation.
Yeah, my mom always likes to say, like, oh, I introduced you to this, to that. And I'm like, well, you didn't, but you did something more important, which is you fostered it immediately, you know? And I feel like sometimes it's hard when parents aren't into the same thing as their kids because they're like, how do I relate? And my mom would just, she'd just jump head on in, you know?
I was fortunate enough to go to your wedding.
Yes.
And she came up to our table. Okay. It was like me and Matt Key and Brittany and Ryan Handsome. And I believe, it was JT. Yeah, JT, I think, JT was standing there. Yeah. And she just, hi, who are you? The Screen Junkies kind of, okay, great. I made him a nerd. And she just started right in. She was an amazing, just amazing lady right there in that moment. But yeah, she point blank was like, I'm the reason he's a nerd.
Yeah. She loves to take credit, and to her credit, she may have not made me a nerd, but she is the reason why I still am. So I'll give her that.
That's great. And then I've seen some videos where you made homemade lightsaber fights, right?
Oh yeah.
I don't know how I saw that or why you'd let me see that.
This was for Screen Junkies back in the day.
That's right.
We had a show called Screen Junkies Universe. We still have one now, but it's a very different version than what it used to be.
Right, right.
And we were all doing our homemade, you know, like, this is what we were back in the day. And I was producing at that time. I wasn't on the panel, but some people were like tweeting me, what's your thing? I'm like, all right, well, you know what? I'm already married. I can't lose a relationship.
Potentially
because of this.
Could, but
so
yeah.
It was from 2002. It was the month that Attack of the Clones had came out. And three of my buddies and me, we used to walk home from school. We go to somebody's house. I had just bought all the new toys, and I was like, Danny, who now is he makes documentaries in Houston. He's a filmmaker, and he's like, let's do our own lightsaber fight. And it's so just poorly done, but you can see four boys geeking out, having fun in the best way.
It's like I've talked about it before about that famous kid, the poor kid, you know, the lightsaber kid.
Yeah.
You know, there before the grace of God go I, because I am one VCR camcorder away from being that kid.
We're all lightsaber kid.
Yeah, we all are.
We all have it somewhere.
Yeah.
You know? Mine's just on YouTube.
Like, forever. Like, I always watch that famous, LARP video, the lightning bolt the thing, and it kills me. I've like, fallen on the floor laughing, but also knowing that I am one or two clicks away from being that guy, even now, if I wanted to, I could dive in.
I think if a lightsaber kid was just, he was too ahead of his time.
He was.
Because if it was, like, 10 years later... I don't think anybody would have noticed. It would have just been like, okay.
It would have been a 24-second news cycle. It would have been like, oh, yeah, kid playing lightsaber in garage, world on fire. Yeah,
him
we're
and,
good.
Like, grape-stomping lady just had the unfortunate... just had the unfortunate. She sounded like a Tusken Raider. Just had an unfortunate timing.
Yeah,
there.
You're a pretty big Star Wars fan, though. Yeah, yes. It runs deep. I think I don't give you enough credit as a Star Wars fan.
I feel like I had a whole room when my sister left for college. I actually took all her stuff out and made a Star Wars room with all my toys.
Begun with you,
with her blessing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, look, nowadays I don't think like I'm schmo down level of Star Warsness, but it's always in my blood, always in my heart. But yeah, I guess I don't identify as like the Star Wars guy because there's you and Scrimshaw and all these other.
Yeah, people, I guess you get into this space, and I was like, it's not like I'm territorial or Joseph's territorial. It's just like it seems like there's specialities. Sure. You're like a left-handed relief pitcher out of the bullpen, and you know, I've said that. You know, people be like, Ken, you don't really watch movies. Why are you on Collider? Like, well, I'm Star Wars and Game of Thrones guy. That's why I'm here. You bring me out to get those batters out.
I'm the utility guy. Like, yeah. I know enough to hold my own in a pretty hardcore conversation about Star Wars or KISS, or a lot of people don't know, Star Trek or Batman or baseball or wrestling, right. You know? Like, speaking I'll never languages. Be, like, the one guy who's like, he'll write the book.
Yeah.
But I've read all the books. You know,
I don't want to call it trademarks there. So you joined the Screen Junkies at first, you know, I think again, I'd been doing some stuff at Wizard World with Screen Junkies and it's a fascinating job. I might come back to it because you travel the country, if not the world at times doing conventions.
Oh, it's a strange joining the circus, man.
Literally joining the circus. And then, yeah, you know, you show up, I think you guest on TV Fights and I believe it was Brittany who said, hey, you know, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
You should hire this guy. So I, you know, that happened. I think your interview process was like, I'm like, I like him. And Joanne Guillory's like, sure. And he's hired.
He didn't care.
He didn't care. So you show on up there and you kind of, I guess I don't want to say it's your trademark, but you have some really interesting opinions.
Hot takes
as it were. And you love, and you, JT, and Lon Harris off camera might be the best show that's not broadcast.
Yeah, we even did a movie fights together, and it was, I had a migraine at the end of it. It's the only time I've ever, I snapped at Dan Merle afterwards on the after show because I was just at a 12, and I yelled at him, and I thank God, though, that after the fight show is not available anymore.
Right, right.
I'm so embarrassed at just... you know, just going off on Dan at the end of it because I was just so tired. It's tiring.
It's tiring. Movie fights is tiring. Producing, it's tiring. Being in that booth for back then, there'd be sometimes 4 hours almost.
Now we have it down
now
to
it's still
an hour 15. But back then, too, you'd be fighting and your energy's at a 10. And then you'd have to do a half hour show where you're supposed to take it down to like a 3. But you're still, how do you turn it off? Like, you're still amped. And then callers calling in and being like, man, your argument was stupid. And you're just like, okay, why am I still... And so Dan made the mistake of being like, why did you, your argument about E, because I said I didn't like E.T.
Right.
And it's a game show, guys. You have to go all in. Obviously, I don't really care for E.T., but I had to go all in.
Yeah.
And Dan was like, your argument with this. I was like, I know. He's like, but I just don't understand why. I was like, I know, Dan, I didn't have time to articulate it well. And he's like, but I just think, and I turn, I was like, that's why I didn't win the GD point, Dan. That's why I'm not the effing winner. And it was just quiet. And I was like, I'm sorry. That was an overreaction.
That's what it will do, man. You get, unless it's a drunk movie fight, you get your hackles are up.
I won't do it anymore. I actually, they've had like, you know, fans like, when are you going to fight again? I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it anymore.
Not going to do it.
No.
It's weird because it's a weird time too. I think things have changed. The debates over movies, I think it can still be done, but it's, you know, when you turn it into a contact sport, it's going to be a problem. But the art of debate is gone. And that's something I know that's on your mind. You're looking to start a show soon.
Yeah.
You know, should we announce that to the world? I want you to commit to it.
It's already done. I've already booked some
guests. You booked guests?
Yeah, so...
You tweeted about it? That's what's... Twitter's the only thing that counts in the world.
It holds me accountable. I was at lunch with Hal Rudnick.
Yeah?
And we were...
Wow.
Wow.
Iconic.
Belly Biz. When are you going to do your podcast? Because you have some hot takes. By the way, go to a baseball game with Hal because he is the funniest
commentator. I saw you guys. I'm not going to lie. I understood it, but a little jealous.
We went to an Angels game, and he just leans over halfway through. He's like, and they were like, next week's promotion, a free Angels bag. He's like, you know what Angels promotion they're not going to do? Touched by an Angel night. Whoa. It's like, I love you. We're buying season tickets next year. But I was at lunch with Hal, and we were talking about, I had done Ed Greer, who's now become a Screen Junkies favorite. I did his podcast talking about Indiana Jones, where I defended Crystal Skull, that I think is actually a pretty good movie that people overlook. And
let's put a pin in that.
Let's put a pin in that. But it had been so long where I could just talk. I wasn't trying to win a point. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to like, wait, but. It was like, here's how I feel. And I was like, I have so many of these opinions. I should just knock out my 30 or 40 crazy opinions with another person there who can just talk it through with me. So we're going to do Hot Takes with Billy Biz. And the first episode is me and Hal Rudnick talking about how I just can't get into that Ant-Man. Just can't do it.
But see, it's a trademark. These are the conversations you'd have off camera.
Yeah.
Look, all the stuff, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Star Wars is my life. Star Wars is my absolute life. And I'll defend it and I'll defend it. But I've gotten to the point, too, where it's like, you know, I just want to go enjoy it again. Not that I'm not going to podcast about it or not debate it, but like I won't really go on movie fights. I don't. You asked me recently, and I just don't ever want to fight a Star Wars question again because I get tired of rolling up and not being able to just have fun with the conversation.
Right.
And look, I think there are bad movies out there. I think you can look at some of Warner Brothers DC stuff or whatever you want to say. But we've turned it into. Hot Take Central, but what you're trying to do is all this point to say is like have an hour long discussion to really just remind us that we both enjoy it, but or don't enjoy it, and we're still going to be okay.
Yeah, I just want to talk about it because sometimes I'm like I feel crazy, and the thing with Screen Junkies, and I totally understand. I'm not a regular cast member. I have bit parts here and there, but if I say like, I don't like Harry Potter, it's whoa. Moving on. And it's just the thread is left dangling. And they're like, Billy Business just hates everything. I'm like, let me explain to you why I just can't get into it. Let's have a conversation, especially if you're a super fan, because maybe I just need to see it through different lenses to appreciate something I'm missing.
Right.
You know,
right.
My ego is not above saying, like, maybe I just am missing something. Right. You know?
And I think that's, over at Force Center with Star Wars Counseling with Joseph Scrimshaw, that's what he set out to do and what that podcast feed is kind of about. Like, we're going to dig in deep and we're going to connect it, the emotional canon of Han Solo getting his last name given into him, and I'll connect it 40 years later to The Force Awakens, and I'll tell you why it works. Then you might go, great, doesn't connect for me like that. And then we're still going to have a beer afterwards. But it's not just Screen Junkies or Collider or anything. It's just the way society's gone, where this, you have to come out of the theater, and what is your review of it?
I
Stardust that, Instagram that, what is your review of it?
I think I tweeted it out. I was like, the fastest way to get me to mute you is to say, check out my review for, and that's it. I'm like, why do I care what your 30 second Stardust is? I don't, but
I love you, Billy. I'm to that point.
And it's like people I actually like and admire, but check out my review. Nope. Mute.
Bye. The amount of people I have muted that I work with, you won't even know. You're not muted. JT is not muted. Well, the Crystal Skull thing's interesting to me. And you've done it in another place. I don't want to go into it too much. Maybe you might still bring it back for your podcast, Hot Takes with Billy Business. I'll tell you this. I've only seen it once in the theater. And so my memory of it is somewhat vague, but it's also pretty specific. And I remember thinking, coming out of the theater going, this is what, 2008, right?
Yep.
Coming out of the theater.
Great summer of 2008.
And going, okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there were some things. I didn't like the ant thing and the monkey thing, and I was all on board for the alien, not aliens, whatever they are, but, man, that was really fun. And I remember kind of, MySpace or whatever it was, and going, thinking to myself, oh, we're not supposed to like it.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. And so I've never seen it again. It's on Amazon Prime. I'm going to watch it one night. And I remember thinking, you telling me you watched Temple of Doom and he jumps out of a plane with a raft,
yep.
and that's any worse or any better, or that's better than a nuclear fridge?
That's almost literally verbatim the point that I made on Ed's podcast. I just said there's a, you know, not to get too deep into it, but there's a lot of things, because me and Lon, one of our biggest arguments was like, I would watch Crystal Skull 3 times before I watched Temple of Doom again. Mm. And I was like, that movie's just mean-spirited and claustrophobic and everything. And that's the point I was trying to make, though, was like, even my least favorite Indiana Jones movie is still a movie that I love.
Right. You
know? And that's what gets lost in these big, like, what's the worst Indiana Jones movie? It's like, wait a second. I still love it. It's still indie, you know?
Yeah, well, that's how it ended up becoming a prequelist in Star Wars, where at one point I realized when no one was looking and I'd sneak around, I'm going to watch Revenge of the Sith. I'm going to watch Phantom Menace, you know, and I had to be like, oh, yeah, that sucked. And are there bad things in them? Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But I was lying to myself, not admitting that I just at least like to watch them.
I'm a quiet prequelist.
Yeah.
I actually really enjoy one. The stuff that people don't like about it, I actually now I'm like, but the political stuff is really interesting.
It's really interesting.
Like we've seen this like war-torn galaxy in 4, 5, and 6, and it's like, but it's so interesting that it started with this very formal Senate. And I realized that in the context of that film, it feels a little off kilter, but in the grand scheme of everything, I'm like, that's kind of interesting. The politics of Star Wars.
Well, because look, Force Awakens shows up, and I love Force Awakens and love what they did with it, but it was missing the state of the galaxy.
Absolutely.
It was like, well, and then a book like Claudia Gray's Bloodline comes out, and I know not everyone reads those Star Wars books, and it sets the tone for the battle 6 years before in politics. And it's this and people consider Leia a warmongering daughter of an evil man, and how she has to fight. And it's like, well, that's interesting.
Could you imagine the smear campaign commercials in Star Wars?
They literally have it.
Her father was basically Hitler.
Yeah.
Don't vote for her.
And it's like, so I get it. Where does this... I don't want to get too off into a movie podcast, and that we do here in Knapsack Files. But the point is, all of this—I say trademark or begrudgingly say it—did this just form in you over time? Was there something? Was it like Crystal Skull, where you're like, "Hey, wait a minute, like let's have some critical thought here, or at least step back from the gas pedal and pump the brakes a little bit on our film discussion"? Did this come about?
I honestly think Screen Junkies did it to me, because I showed up day one. I was like, oh, I love all these things. And it just looked, it was like a fart in church. Like, you're not supposed to like those 10 things.
What?
And then I had to like carefully like find my people. Like, is it okay that I like this thing? No? Okay.
Good. Well, then I come along and I'm like, I never seen a DC movie. Avengers was boring. I like Guardians 1, end of 2.
But it's just like, and I got so... I think just as it's not my tenure at Screen Junkies, I think it's just the way that we're going also just like with Twitter and just in general, where it just lined up, it's synced that it's like everything's very binary.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't give a letter grade sometimes. Sometimes I hate a movie when I watch it, and then I'm like, but it evoked such a feeling in me that like it's a good movie, but it doesn't connect, or vice versa. It's a bad movie, but it hit something in me. It's all about emotions, and I can't grade that.
Yeah, it's tough to grade it. And then the other side, it's like sometimes, you know, you might be like, I think this is bad. And someone's like, well, bah! You know, then it's like, okay.
Well, actually.
But it's a tough time, because we've made a career, not you and I. We'd be richer if we were. But this we made a career out of this pop culture stuff, this nostalgic. God bless it, because great, because we grew up in this era. You're talking Burton's Batman Inspires You. You know, I was there in the theater opening weekend myself. And now we grew up and we're wearing the suits and ties and we're in the offices going, you know what we should do? We should do things about this. And now it's just, we've opened up this Pandora's box. I almost wish I'd go back to my, you know, my father, who's like, I think I saw Force Awakens. I think they're going to have a sequel. You know, like, it's a refreshing, like...
Have you seen the Star Wars thing? It's pretty... Yeah, there are times where I definitely wish I could be so, like... Mm. Like, my wife, you know, she likes what she likes. Doesn't talk about it. She watches it. It's over. And then, you know, my wife loves white chicks, dude. I had to pay money for that.
Oh, the movie. Yeah.
I mean,
okay. Also, I remember what
I think she has an affinity for her lovely Caucasian gotcha. Women, but yeah. also, yeah, she likes sorority boys and white chicks, see, and she doesn't care. She's not going on Twitter and fighting anyone about it. She's just like, I'm just going to watch it when I'm in a bad mood, and then it's over.
There, look, I've talked about it before here on this channel. I actually talked about it in the afternoons, too. It's like, I have a friend. And I can't say his name because he's in politics and a lot of my friends are trying to have him voted out right now. But I used to work with him when he's in LAPD and he once told me, I was making fun of him. He's about 7, 8 years older than me and I was making fun of him for some of the songs he liked. And he's like, trust me, you're going to get to a point where you like what you like and you don't care.
Music is the one that I'm very touchy about.
It's because it's so, it's different. It strikes this different chord in your heart. I get snappy too. But then you've certainly come to a point where you're like, all right, I get it. I like what you like. I like what I like. You like what you like. But what gets you with that? If someone attacks Kiss?
Kiss is always the butt of a joke, and I can't even say I blame them. Yeah, but it's also, too, like I find that there are certain songs that I really like, and it doesn't matter who the singer is. There are certain things within the music, like certain chord progressions that I like, you know, descending chords or minors that get resolved, you know, like there are certain like technical aspects of songs that I like that people are like, why do you have this song by this artist? I'm like, cause I just like the way it sounds. And that's like where I get
it
touchy,
hits me. Yeah.
You know? And I think there are some things too. My wife, she's actually a really big Hanson fan.
You say
Mbop.
Yeah.
And that's the one that we all know. But they put out music now that she puts it on. I'm like, I really like this song. Who sings it? She's like, this is Hanson. I'm like, really?
What? No, like, I can't like the prequels. What? Ah!
Yeah. And it gets crazy to be like, I have like a handful of Hanson songs from now that
Richard,
that I just, they're good songwriters now, but they have that Mbop stigma on them.
Hey,
so
and they got that Mbop money. So, hey, don't worry about it.
They're actually very nice lads.
They're very nice lads.
Yeah, they're very good chaps.
Yeah, good chef. No, I'd imagine that being good, you know. All right, you've talked about it a couple times here. I want to talk about love life and marriage and all those kind of things here, because you are younger than me, so I'm impressed looking across at you. And a married man took the big dive. You had a wonderful wedding.
Thank you.
And every time I would watch The Last Man on Earth, where they were at that cartel house, it was a house that you got married at.
It looked like a cartel house when you were. We took pictures inside, and it was just gorgeous. The whole place. I take absolutely zero credit. I had no idea that I even had a photo booth at my wedding until the DJ said, last call for photo booth. I was like, we got one of those?
I took many shots in there. Yes. Yes. Great wedding. How long you guys been together before that? What led you to this path of marriage?
We got together in 2013.
That's a good time.
Proposed in 2015.
Yeah.
Took a year to, you know, we transitioned jobs and moved around a little bit. So we're like, let's stretch this out just a little bit, and then got married in 2017.
I like that patience. Love is patience, and wedding planning even more.
Yeah, and it's look. I'd like to say that being married is just so different.
Right.
It's not. It's like, you get used to the ring and the filling out a different tax form, but like, I knew that I was going to be with her forever, far before the rings were on either of my fingers. So to me, it's like we can do this 10 years from now if you want. Like, I know I'm still going to be with you. So
was there a moment, something to change she brought to your life? How did you know? I love hearing the different whys for everybody.
So I always tell our first date story, and it's I'm not a big anniversary guy. I tend to forget dates, but I will always remember our first date and we celebrate it because I picked her. We'd been texting for a little bit. I didn't quite know her well. Picked her up at her house. It was the day that Ben Affleck was announced as Batman, August 22nd, 2013. Picked her up from her apartment. And
was that long ago?
I picked her up from from her apartment, and it's like, hey, how's it going? Good. How was your day? Oh, good. I was like, how was your day? She's like, well, you know, my boss sent me home for just being too emotional and crazy. And I was like, oh, shit.
What?
Like, we haven't even gotten there yet.
Lay it out all on the table. I guess.
I immediately started thinking of like exit strategies. You know, it was like NASA. I had like five different backup plans.
Is there a window in the bathroom?
So the first date, I was like, let's go to Madame Tussauds Wax Museum at the Hollywood and Highland. Because I was like, at least there's pictures that we can take. Yeah. There's like stuff we can do. It's still interesting to me, even if this doesn't work out. And it was fine. Like we were, you know, I was probably over joking because I joke too much when I'm nervous. And it was fine. It wasn't anything too memorable. And then we went to this Italian place that's also in Hollywood and Highland, very fancy Italian place.
Oh, yeah.
And we were a little stiff and we were eating. And she goes, she eats her ravioli. She's like, it has a hint of Chef Boyardee. And I just started belly laughing. I was like, okay, you're a real person. You're on my level. That was a Thursday. We went out again on a Saturday, and then the following Monday, I don't think there was ever a night that I wasn't at her place till we got married.
Your life changed that fast.
That quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so even if it wasn't declared or proclaimed or ringed, I love that. I love that. Yeah, Thursday, Friday you're contemplating, Saturday.
Saturday it was locked. Yeah. And then I don't think we ever spent a night apart since then.
Then you're that's like great. Paul McCartney and Linda McCartney before she passed away.
Not quite Yoko John, but it wasn't that codependent.
No, Paul Linda.
Paul Linda.
Paul Linda. Paul Linda. Paul Linda. That's wonderful. What kind of how has she changed you? How is she whether it's taking your Kiss posters off the wall or leaving them up?
She's so accommodating in the sense that we always knew when we moved in together, it's a little bit more money, but we always had a 2-bedroom. And one bedroom, she's like, go nuts. You can do whatever you want, all your stuff.
Play lightsaber fights.
It must be contained to that room. Yeah. And that's just, that is what's saved our marriage, our relationship. We each have the bedroom has always been her spot.
Okay.
She likes to work in bed on her laptop and like that's her. I just go in there to sleep. That's it.
Get in here, but it's Patterson.
Sometimes we'll, you know, on a Sunday afternoon, she likes to play on her laptop in her room and I'll go in my room with my Xbox and every couple hours I'll just pop my head in. How you doing? Good. You having a good Sunday? Yeah. And that's us like
that's it.
Spending time away from each other, but together.
But together.
And that's how,
No, that's important. That's an important thing to allow each other to have.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's a key. And separate beds. I'm all for separate beds.
You know what's funny is that I used to be like, man, I just can't sleep with another person here. Mm-hmm. And she just went out of town last week for a couple of days on a vacation. I slept terribly. Woke up every 2 hours.
That's sweet.
Awful.
Look at this soft underbelly to Billy A. Patterson here, man. Look at that. That's amazing. That's awesome. You work this job at Wizard World, like we talked about, which means for those, you know, I guess we should have set it up earlier. It's a traveling convention. And I'm trying to remember the first time I heard, you know, of Comic-Con meaning San Diego. And it was just kind of this singular, that's the con of the world. And then suddenly you're like, oh, there's others. And then there's others. And then there's others. It just obviously springs up. But Wizard World was the first I knew of that was like, this thing that went around and it was the same thing in every city and it was, and my friend Brittany Wallet Key gets a job there and that's how I first went. And then suddenly Screen Junkies is going on tour there, which is I'm sure where I passed you in the hallways.
We met.
Yeah.
You and we met, I met all of you guys. None of you remember. I was with,
was it Chicago?
I was with a guy, named Mo Lightning.
I know Mo.
I was backstage talking to him and I met all of you very briefly before you went on stage for the Screen Junkies panel.
Yeah. So August 2015 then, the first one.
I was definitely there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when I first met Mo because I'd heard about him. I knew about Mo, for, you know, Brittany and
great,
Damien. He's
great guy. I love him.
Yeah, and a big wrestling guy. Big.
He has a wrestling audio. Yeah.
Right. And so you're right. I probably do. But I was 2 weeks into that job, and I'd left that security job after 17 years, and I thought, you know, because I'd been told in my interview, you know, I just want to make sure you're clear that this is what you want, because if it doesn't work out, we'll get rid of you, and we don't care. And that was kind of what I was told. So I'm like, don't mess up, don't mess up, don't mess up, don't mess up. Brittany, help me make this work, make this thing work. So yeah, I apologize. Yeah, I had my hair growing a little longer there. You're probably like, who's this douche?
All good. I think I met so many people during that time. It's a whole nother world.
It is. So tell me what you can say about traveling around the country mostly. You did some. Did they do some international ones?
They did a China one that I declined to go to, and it turned out to be the beginning of the end of an era of Boys of World. It was a disaster.
Yeah,
from what I remember.
Keep it on the freeways in the States.
I've been all over the great United States of America. Been to Wisconsin in February because they didn't schedule those things very well. I met almost all of my heroes, and I'd say there's a good 50-50 ratio of being let down to being really impressed by some. It was feast or famine, man.
They always say, don't meet your heroes, especially at conventions, I guess. But yeah, that's tough. After the first one, without naming names, I'm not that type of podcast here, but the first one, the first real bad one, were you dead and trepidatious the rest of the time?
Yeah.
Were there bad ones?
You know what's funny is that I actually will say the name and tell because we ended up becoming friends afterwards. It was my first month of working at Wizard World, and it was Jason David Frank, the Green Ranger. And keep in mind, like, Allison and I, when we first started dating, we used to watch Power Rangers on Netflix and kind of do a Mystery Science Theater commentary over it. So it was like, oh my God, like 6 months later, I'm working with the Green Rangers. This is awesome. And I put up some meme or something about Power Rangers because I was doing social media, and I didn't realize that I had like offended him by putting that meme up. There was just a miscommunication, I'd emailed him. I was like, "Very sorry, whatever." And I tried to backtrack, but I think I just made it worse. And he
I
like
don't know what happened.
He was talking to some of the bosses, like, "Who's this new guy? What is he doing?" And so for a couple months, we were very frosty with each other.
Right.
And I was like, what a letdown. And then we were in Atlanta.
Okay.
And I don't know why, but he came to dinner and Brittany was there. Mm-hmm. And we were just telling stories and kind of humanized each other.
Right.
And we had some great stories and moments from that night. And from then on, we became like friends. He would text me happy birthday, and he was both a shoulder to lean on when we were kind of mad about certain things. And I know sometimes he gets some flack for whatever this and that, but I've never seen a celebrity that respects and loves his fans more than Jason David Frank. And whatever else you want to say about the guy, like any autograph he's ever signed, any fan he's ever met, that is 100% him not putting on a show.
Right.
He loves his fans. And we ended up becoming friends. But it was a very frosty beginning. And I was like, oh man, how did I piss off the Green Ranger freaking month one?
That's a great lesson for the internet in general now. That's kind of how it happens. Face to face, breaking bread.
Yeah.
That's how things get solved.
Yeah, it really was. It was just like, I don't know why he went to dinner with us that night, but it was great.
Divine intervention. Crazy stories, things you can't say, but you can give detail. I mean, because I've heard some other ones. I've heard some weird ones.
I mean, look, there's beloved actors that have pooped their pants.
I've heard that one.
Yeah, that one.
I've heard that story.
I don't like that one.
Yeah, that one's a sad story.
There's definitely been two celebrities that fell asleep during their photo ops with sunglasses. And one lady comes and she's like, "He's asleep," because the bulb actually lightened up the lenses in the sunglasses. And she's like, "I want a refund." And we're like, "He's gone." But what a great conversation piece. This is the best.
Was it an older celebrity?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. God bless him. He shouldn't have been doing photo ops. Like, he's too old. But he's just a sweetheart that just fell asleep.
I want to get to that point in my career. I'll never have a level of celebrity that people want to pay for my pictures. But I want to get to that point where I'm just going to put on some glasses.
I was there
just
when...
prop me up.
Oh, yeah. Just the weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
I was there when that crazy fan bit Norman Reedus, and that made...
What? I'd have never heard of that one.
Yeah, this woman was a Walking Dead fan, and I... You know, whenever these celebrities do those photo ops, it's sometimes, most of the time, they'll do creative, fun ones if the fans ask, and this woman just walked up to him and just bit him in the neck like she was a zombie, and that's obviously... no-go.
No.
I would say no. I even think if they asked to stage, can I pretend? They'd be like, nah. But a lot of them will do some fun stuff. John Barrowman does some really fun ones. A lot of the wrestlers will do fun ones or prom poses. But that one was and Norman's such a sweet man. I used to do the costume contest. I used to host it.
Yeah.
And me and Mo, after a while, just to be silly, we started dressing up in really bad cosplay. So I was John Hammond from Jurassic Park, and I walked into the celebrity green room because I had to get Jason David Frank. He's one of the judges. And Norman just looked me up and down, just couldn't figure it out. And I, like, take off the hat and, like, it's me, Norman. He's like, cool. Had no idea what I was doing, why I was dressed as Sir Richard Attenborough, but he's just the Norman Reedus nod of approval. Yeah, he was just like, all right, cool.
Yeah, man.
Lou was great. Lou Ferrigno.
He's
very terrified of tornadoes.
Really?
We were in St. Louis and a tornado touched down, and he's just kind of in the corner, of like, very apprehensive. Like, what's the matter? He's like, I can do the earthquakes, but I can't do the tornadoes. I was like, that's fair. But just like, I'm like, man, you're the Hulk. To like, do this in private, dude. Like, I have an image of you.
Keep Hulk kayfabe.
Don't show me your human fears, Hulk.
Come on, Hulk, fight the tornado.
He's so sweet. I love him so much.
I have met him in Pat. He used to, when I was in my hometown in Arroyo Grande, San Luis Obispo, he lived up there part of the year.
Yeah.
And he'd pop into the movie theater I worked at all the time. I'd never really spoke to him, but I think I sold him a ticket once or twice.
He's very sweet. Yeah. Just like the Andre the Giant, gentle giant type, you know, like, looks very menacing. And I feel like sometimes people would be like, oh, I'm scared to go lose table. Don't be scared. He's the sweetest man. He can't wait to talk to you. Just go up there.
And I love that. What's that? I Love You, Man, the movie with Paul Rudd.
Yeah. Where
he's a character.
Why is he fighting Lou Ferrigno?
Any crazy? I mean, the fact that, like, Norman Reedus recognized you by name and face, and all that's a weird kind of surreal environment in its own place. You know, you become friends with Jason and all that stuff. You hit the town. You in New Orleans with any of these people. You in New York. I mean, does it ever get that kind of close?
Yes.
That you could say.
There's some,
I don't want to get sued.
Yeah, there's some celebrities we had some fun with. I never did anything like outrageous or anything, but yeah, there were some celebrities that would come out with us and have fun, or we would always throw like a party on Saturday nights, and they would come hang out at the VIP. Again, 50-50, man. Half of them were so cool, and half of them, I wish them nothing but failure for the rest of their career.
I would love the list.
Nothing. After this,
we'll make that a Patreon exclusive. We'll do the list. Yeah, that's where, I mean, the conventions are a fun time. I mean, it's a weird, you know, I've been to several of them now, and it's just that nightlife. But the ones with Wizard World, it was always a little weird, because San Diego or New York, they're big, you're there for work, and the other ones are work too, and for you it was work, but for us, like Screen Junkies, it was like, cool, we're going to New Orleans this weekend, and I guess in the middle of it we've got a panel.
It was the thing that was crazy too is like, the reason why you become friends with some of those people is because you're just in bizarro world. Like, everyone acts insane, because you have to remember, this is once in a lifetime for most people.
Right.
This is twice a month for you.
Right.
So it's like going to war, kind of, in a weird way. So it's like no one understands. Like, so like, I remember backstage, it was the second or third show that he had been to, was David Tennant.
Yeah.
And like thousands. I've never seen so many people show up for David Tennant. I don't really watch Doctor Who. I don't really know who he is, but we're just backstage just like talking about Donkey Kong or N64 or something. And I realized much later, I told that story somewhere, and people were like, I would literally kill someone to be in your position. And I've been fortunate enough in my career, both with Screen Junkies and with Wizard World, where I've always had a job where people are just like, what do I have to do to get to your job? And that's kind of cool.
It is cool. The perspective is important to have. We get in it. I'm having a little tough time relationship with digital media and movie discussion worlds right now myself. And yeah, you know, it is the perspective. It's a job, and I don't think they realize how much of a job it is, and they'd probably hate it at times as much as we do. But then, to look back in your struggles, or were you, you know, a little kid in Fresno, like, I want to make this stuff, I want to be part of this stuff, and here you are producing and no longer just making lightsaber, you know, videos by the pool there. But along the way, though, you become this very passionate pro wrestling fan.
Yes.
WWF would go to Fresno a lot.
Yes.
Is that seeing a house show pull you in? How'd you get to that point?
It's funny, I have a lot of wrestling knowledge, and I have a lot of respect for classic era, but I was one of the kids that actually got sucked in around Attitude Era time.
I didn't
jump in until like 98. It wasn't until years later that I got to fill in kind of the rest of it.
Gotcha.
But I can't believe I'm admitting this. I actually started with Nitro.
WCW
I was a Nitro kid.
Ooh.
That'd
be the era though. The Monday Night Wars.
I would watch Nitro, and my mom, she would see Hogan, so she'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
And I always would try to sneak over to USA to just catch a moment, but WWF was kind of like off limits a little bit.
I just dropped my whiskey, everybody. It's okay.
But then
it's been a long day.
My mom, about in 2000, she was friends with a reporter at the Fresno Bee, and she's like, hey, he got some tickets to the SmackDown thing.
Right.
Do you want to go? And I was like, okay, are you going to take me? She's like, yeah, I'll go. Yeah. And I'll never forget it. It was in February. It was the last stop before No Way Out 2000, the DX Express. I was fully on board. And I think that's when my mom kind of understood when she went. She's like, okay, I don't like some of this stuff, but I get
what it is.
Why he, the theatrics and everything. I get why he likes it. So
yeah,
that was kind of like point of no return was SmackDown February, Celland Arena in Fresno, February 2000.
Oh, the memories. What pulled you in about it though? You said the spectacle, you know, for a lot of us, it's the entrances, it's the music, it's the storytelling though, right, that I think what pulls you in. I know it was for me, but, what grabbed you?
I think I always thought, I was the kid in like fifth, sixth grade. I was like, you guys, wrestling's dumb. Like,
sure,
it's fake. Mike Tyson's real, guys.
Yeah.
You know, that was the era of Tyson. And then I remember my friend Patrick Kaligian spent about a full week of lunch hours explaining to me the entire history of the NWO. Like from start and all the weird, by Thursday, we were all the way to like Disco Inferno joining the Wolf Pack. Like we were
Latino World Order.
And I was like,
the Blue World Order.
I was like, what is this? So I checked out Nitro and it was Sting that got me.
Yeah,
I was
okay.
Like, what is this? I was like, there's this guy with this cool makeup and this trench coat and he's just fighting off everybody with a bat. And
he's the Crow, but he's not.
And I was like, and who are these guys just flipping around at the beginning? I don't know anybody's name, but they're just like going a million miles an hour. And, you know, that's kind of what got me into it, I think, was just like the theatrics. And the wrestling, I kind of was almost secondary to me for a little bit. I really liked the stories and like, how's someone going to stop this? I didn't realize at the time the NWO would go on forever, but I was like, how are they going to stop the NWO?
That's fascinating. So like you never really thought about like, say, doing it. You're there for the storytelling, which ties into your love of movies and all that kind of stuff too.
Right. I never once did it cross my mind, like, I want to be in the ring. I thought, man, that'd be cool to be, you know, Paul Bearer or Paul Heyman.
Sure. Yeah.
To not have to
get hurt.
Hit.
Yeah.
And I was always drawn by like the bigger the character, the more I was like I always knew my mom would have a fit if she saw that was around the time Undertaker was getting very satanic.
Yeah, very a lot of sacrifices.
Yeah, we grew up in a very Christian household, so
me as well,
it was that allure of like, but this dark side character is kind of cool,
mom,
you know?
And he's
like,
sacrificing Stephanie McMahon, and it worked.
Mom, he's the bad guy. It's okay. Yeah, I think I was just drawn in by the theatrics, which is probably what drew me into Kiss and drew me into all these things, was like these larger than life characters that I don't want it to be too real, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm kind of with you too there too. Like I'm all for some of the stuff, you know, I love wrestling through and through and to the end. And I like the flippity flips and I like NXT and everything, but sometimes I'm like, I do like a garbage man fighting.
Why not? I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I remember in 2004, there was a character named Mordecai and he was all dressed in white. And I think he ended up being Kevin Thorne, the vampire.
Yes.
But Mordecai came out and I was like, this is going to be so awesome when Mordecai and the darkness of the Undertaker finally meet. And they dropped the character because it was just the wrong time. I was like, man, Attitude Era, that guy would have been
over
there.
Would have been over. So instead it becomes the crazy vampire with Shelly Martinez being Ariel or whatever, the sexy ballet.
ECW was painful.
Yeah.
I was there for every episode of it.
Fantastic stuff there. We're almost done here, Billy. But, I think I'm so glad, number one, that you begged your way onto the show. You're a fascinating character. You do the Lord's work over there at Screen Junkies there. But, any final parting words here? What's your secret to life, man?
Get over yourself.
I love it.
I think that's something I struggle with every day. Mm. I feel like there are times where I look at my situation and I'm just like, I'm either bitter or upset or frustrated. And I think, is this your situation or is this your ego? You feel that thing, that sting, that's pride effing with you, you know? And I think if you can get over yourself, and it's tough. It's something it's I work on every day. But if you can get over yourself, man, like I said, I've bitched about work all last week, and I realized talking with you in the last hour, it's like there are people that are just banging down my door, like, how do I get to be where you are?
Right.
And not just once, but twice back to back. So it's very, very cool.
Well, yeah, no, hey, that's get over yourself is really important. I approach life as a case by case basis. Not everything is everything, you know, not one thing is everything. And then, you know, act like you've been there before. And then that's actually true in a lot of ways, because even when you said it, the pride, every time I'm throwing my stuff against the wall at my previous jobs and even the security job that I hated. And it's like, well, this is just about me, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is just about me putting me before a lot of other things.
I have a great job. I found my person. I feel like right at the right time in life. Like I have nothing to complain about. So it's, if you can get over yourself and your own ego, I think life just becomes that much sweeter.
That's some words of advice from Billy Business. Billy, thank you so much for coming in. We're going to bring you on the afternoons with Josh and Ken. We'll do some Force Center. You can talk about the Star Wars.
I would love to talk about
you are Star not Wars. Banned yet from any show that I do. And I hope hopefully we can dance over at Screen Junkies again soon. So before we get out of here, tell them where they can find you and where they're going to be able to find your podcast, Hot Takes.
Follow me on Twitter at Billy A. Patterson. I should have changed it to Billy Business. I didn't. Joe Starr gave me that name, by the way. Thank you,
I know he did,
For branding me.
F you, Joe Starr.
At Billy A. Patterson on Twitter. When the show is ready, and I'm not putting it out till it's ready, probably around the time Ant-Man and the Wasp hits Blu-ray, so maybe a couple weeks. I don't know when this goes up, but...
This goes up soon.
Well, that's when the first... I'm going to time it around me and Hal Rudnick talking Ant-Man around the time of Ant-Man's release, so you can find all new ways to hate me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I hope I'll come on as well and soothe some of your Star Wars ales.
Let's talk Rogue One, man. I need some help.
Rogue One, a Star Wars story, is near and dear to my heart. So, Billy, thank you so much for coming on into the Knapsack Files. Appreciate it. And I appreciate you out there listening and my supporters on Patreon. I have a lot of people that make this show possible. They are my producer and executive producer supporters like Jason Humphreys, Pags, Alex Marriott, Kai Thatch, Kyle Gerben, Zach Anderson, Ranger Donald, Donald Long, The Amazing Web, Aaron the Author, Aaron Parisian, Jonas Bergman, Corey Morissette, Graham Bell, Kyle Harlow, David Triana, just added today at the time of this recording, DJ Snacks, Thomas Risling, Lethal Logan X, speaking of pro wrestling, Matthew Simon Bador, Jacob at Legends Con, Matthew Maroney, Matthew Thompson at TMP Media Productions, and Taymor, he is a new executive producer as well. Thank you for your support. If you want to support, go to patreon.com/thenapsackfiles. But the best thing you can do for this podcast is spread the word, subscribe, rate and review on iTunes, and go to my YouTube page, youtube.com/C/KenKnapsack, or just type in Ken Knapsack on a YouTube search bar. You'll get to my challenge Encore, channel Encore presentations of the Knapsack Files episodes going back to even to 2013 with Mark Ellis and Tiffany Smith, stuff like that. They're going to be up on the YouTube channel as well. That is it. We'll see y'all next time here on the Knapsack Files.